If you've been on earth for any length of time, I'm sure that you've had some dark clouds. You've had some storm clouds. You've had some things that come into your life that you just wouldn't have made it through had it not been for the Lord. Some of us have experienced some serious illness. Some of us have been unemployed. Some of us have had other maladies and tragedies come into our lives. But because of the grace of God, because of the goodness of God, we can stand this morning and raise our hands and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because if you had not saved me, cancer would have taken me out. If you hadn't saved me, Lord, high blood pressure would have taken me out. If you had not saved me, that bullet that just went by would have taken me out. But I just want y'all to understand one thing this morning. I'm grateful. I'm truly grateful that God has sustained me. Take no credit. I take no glory. All the honor, all the glory belongs to God. Because I know that if it had not been for Him, I could answer the question where I would have been. I would already be dead and in my grave. But God. And His divine power chose to keep me a while longer. So I was just at the doctor the other day and she asked me, she said, now when was that you had colon cancer? I said, 2002. Thank you, Lord. Because I know how sick I was. I know how close I was to death. Oh, but look at what God has done today. We serve a good God, a powerful God. And as you often hear me say, but God. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the Gospel of St. John. Been working through this series, Living the Abundant Life, and this is the closing Sunday for this particular series of messages. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, as I have read in your hearing over the last 3 or 4 weeks, Jesus said, "The thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Bow with me. Father God, we come now in the name of Jesus and we thank you, O God, for your loving kindness, your tender mercy. We thank you for your grace, your goodness to us, O Lord, for every expression of your love. Thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord, this morning to worship, to glorify you, O Lord, to give you the honor. Now, Lord, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth, that you may be heard today, and pray by your divine power that lives will be changed for the glory of God. If there be any who are here that are not saved, Lord, call them unto yourself. And we'll give you glory and rejoice with the angels in heaven. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we pray today. Father, I pray that you would bless Sister Danielle Look at Sister Kim, look at Cody, look at Mother Morrison. Thank you for bringing Sister Carmen back, raising her up, dear Heavenly Father. And then, Lord, we pray for those that are traveling this holiday weekend, that you would envelop them with your love, that you would keep them by your divine power and bring them back safely, O God. We love you and we praise you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible. God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet. A light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We have covered two of the major characteristics or attributes of abundant living, and we want to clear up for those who may be confused that it is not about the abundance of things that we have, because Jesus says that a person's life does not consist in the abundance of things that they have. So cars and houses, jewelry and money don't define your life. Amen. And I can remember a family that lived down the street from us when we were coming up. And I mean, everybody in Leeds was poor. But they had about 10, 11 kids. And believe me, they were poor. But I tell you what they did have. They had love. They had joy. They had a sense of prosperity that some who were better off than them did not have. And we need to understand, as the children of God, that abundant living is not summed up in the things that we have. Just as there are four stages in the natural growth and maturation of a human being, the scripture points out that there are four stages in spiritual growth of a young believer, amen, of a believer, I should say. And in that, we need to understand that we go through all of those stages. We don't jump from here to that adult stage of maturation just overnight. It is a process. Amen. And maybe this morning, if we understand the different stages of Christian maturation, we might really understand why some things are just happening in our lives like they are. We might understand. It may shed some light, amen, on why things are going the way they go. And people will ask themselves the question, and you know, we do talk to ourselves sometimes. Amen. And we'll be saying, I just don't understand why it happened to me. I don't understand why it's going like this. But the answer may rest in where you are in your walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It may rest in where you are as it relates to your spiritual growth and maturity. Amen. So, when we see a child who is not growing physically like they should, we become concerned, amen? And we know that their growth is stunted to a degree, and we immediately become concerned. Now, let me ask a question this morning. Shouldn't somebody other than the pastor be concerned when a child of God is not growing as they should? Come on, come on. Amen. Shouldn't somebody other than just the pastor say, well, you know, they're not coming along like they should as it relates to their spiritual growth in Christ Jesus? Amen. The Bible says that we are what, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, that we should not only look out for our own interests, but also for the interests of those who are part of our spiritual or biblical family. Amen. We should be interested. I'm concerned about how every member of Christian Charity is moving in relation to their maturation and their growth in Christ Jesus. If you're not growing, it concerns pastor, if nobody else. Amen. Because God wants us to grow up in Christ Jesus. And as I was sharing with a brother the other day, Paul told Timothy, he said, these things that you've seen and heard in me, teach unto faithful men who will be able to do the same to others. And as we grow in Christ, we ought to be passing along, amen, those skills, aptitudes, and abilities that will allow them to be instrumental in discipling other believers. Amen. And that's what this is all about. It's not just about us coming here on Sunday morning, sitting on padded pews and giving a hallelujah every now and then, but it's about us impacting the lives of other people for the glory of Almighty God. I want us to have a good time. I want us to have some hallelujahs. I want us to shout and jump around and do all of those things for the glory of God. But I also want us, when we leave out of here, not to just go out and tell them, "Ooh, pastor preached this morning." Well, what did he preach about? And you got to stutter, scratch your head, and think about it. No, we don't want that. We want you to go out and say, well, he talked about living the abundant life. And you all, let me tell you what it is. It's not just about your car, your clothes, and your money, but it is about being a spiritually mature disciple of Jesus Christ. That is one aspect of living the abundant life, and that is spiritual maturation. Let's look at these four stages this morning. I don't want to keep you long, but I do want us to take a look at this passage today because we need to understand where we are. And pastor, not trying to put you nowhere, but I want each of us to do that personal self-inventory as it relates to our position or station based on what the Word of God says. Now, the first stage that we see is the infant stage. And in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you milk and not with solid food, for unto now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Have you ever watched children play? Have you ever watched a baby? Amen. Babies can be, to use the term that Pastor Trey and Sister Smith kind of tease about, babies can be real petty. Amen, because see, babies think of who? Only themselves. Amen. They if they deny what they want, Jalen, stand over here. If he's denied what he wants, he's going to raise a ruckus. He's going to get to hollering and crying and carrying on until somebody does something to pacify or to meet whatever need he may have. Amen. And see, when children suffer from separation anxiety, it's not really about mom and dad. It's really about them. Because they're not crying because mom and dad is just gone. They're crying because they have lost that sense of security that being with mom and dad brings to their lives. Amen. Well, sometimes we as believers, we suffer from the same things. Amen. See, you know, we begin to act petty and immature when we don't get everything just the way we want it. Amen. Now, listen to me. Babies never sing, they cry. Babies try to talk, but they don't make sense. Y'all, come on now. And many of these characteristics are true in some of the saints who have grown older in age. They've been born into the family of God, but they failed to develop spiritually. Why? Because they're not being fed. Amen. And because they're not, and when I say being fed, I mean receiving the word of God. Paul said that I couldn't give you meat that would really help put meat on your bones and develop muscles and help you grow in strength, amen, to go through the stages of life, because you got a mouthful of teeth, but you still want a bottle. You just drinking milk and for that reason, because you refuse the meat. It's not that it's not available, but you refuse it. And so therefore, all I can give you is milk. Now, Jalen again, I'll talk about him since that's my grandbaby. Jalen don't want them peas and carrots and stuff in that little squeeze bottle. He start turning his head and making faces. And then when he gets sleepy, the only thing going to pacify him is a bottle. Now, I just want to help you. And very simply, if all you living on is what you get on Sunday morning, woo, Lord Jesus. And I mean, I try to give, you know, Lord help me try to put a give you a good word. But a good word on Sunday morning is not enough to carry you for 7 days. Amen. You need to be in the word of God yourself, and then you need to be in discipleship so somebody can teach you. You can talk about it. You can chop it up. Amen. You can drill down. You can dig deep and get those heavier meanings from the word of God to clear up your understanding so you know how to rightly divide the word of God and apply it to your life. You need to be in Bible study, because there we chop it up and we talk about it again. And it allows you to bring not only your personal understanding, but it allows you to hear from those who are teaching and giving instruction in that arena what the word of God really says and how it applies to your life. So if you're going to stop being a baby, you got to be fed the word of God. Amen. See, baby Christians, they just want to hang on to the bottle. And if my buddy wasn't in here this morning, I'd really talk about the bottle. But yeah, Zeus said, all right. See, Johnny went down, spent some time with his grandfather down in Oklahoma. Grandpa put the whammy on him. He don't even talk about it no more. and some of us, I'm going to talk about it so y'all can put it down, amen, and come on over and get some meat and grow up in Christ. And if people tell you you're acting like a baby, get some meat and grow up, amen. Amen. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Then you can be productive in this work that God has called us to do. The second stage is that of a child. In 1 John 2:12, it says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, you for his name's sake. And some Christians, amen, they grow up to this little child stage and they stop right there. They know a little bit of the 23rd Psalms, and they might be able to repeat the Lord's Prayer. They can tell you what John 3:16 says. Amen. But they don't know what Matthew 28:18-20 says. Amen. They don't know what Acts 1:8 say about making disciples and going out and helping and seeing other people become disciples of Jesus Christ. Little child stage. They know to walk. They get in on the worship on Sunday, but they're still just little children, Christians, who refuse to grow. How do we get them beyond this stage of spiritual maturity? How do we get them to play fairly? I've watched my children as well as my grandchildren and other folks' children. How a child can be playing and just having a great time, and they look up and see somebody else, some other child sitting on their mother or father's lap. They drop the ball, and they go over there, and they start trying to pull up and get on their lap or get the other child off because they are what? Little children. They just can't stand not having their mother's attention. Then I've watched them here and there walk as good as you and me, some better. But they want daddy or mama to carry them. And sometimes people, see, you can tell a person's in the little child stage because when they come to church, they want the choir to sing them up, the deacons to pray them up, the preacher to preach them up. Amen. They need to be, what we need to understand is get beyond that little child stage and come, amen, with a spirit of expectancy and then believing that God is going to show up and I'm going to bring the Spirit of God with me to bless somebody else. Because, see, ministry and worship is not just about me. It is about who's sitting next to me. It's about who's sitting in front of me. And saints, we need to bring the Spirit of the Lord with us. I know I've seen adults, mature adults, act like little children, Christians. I mean, 40, 50, 60-year-old people acting, throwing temper tantrums. And they just stop short of rolling in the floor, but in their own way, Tom Rainer said that they are acting out and having a temper tantrum. Amen. When in essence they ought to be craving the milk of the word so they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in case you missed the study, or maybe you're visiting with us this morning, go buy the book, I Am a Church Member, and read it from cover to cover, and then look at how you and I should conduct ourselves as members of the body of Christ. Let me tell you, I was sharing with a brother the other day, we had a chance to talk, I said, you know what? Some people come to church with that country club mentality. They come to be served instead of realizing that God called us to serve. Amen. This is not about me. It's about Jesus. Look at some of the characteristics of that little child. Little children are sometimes untruthful, unfruitful, deceitful, envious, and kids can even be cruel. If you correct them, they become martyrs. They become resentful. They'll create an undercurrent and try to pull somebody else down with them. But that's how kids are. See, kids get, it amazes me how kids, you know, and I know I was the same way. When me and Michael was running the streets in Lee's and we was best friends, if Michael didn't like you, whether you done anything to me or not, chances are I wasn't going to like you. But you know why? Because I was a little child. Children are talebearers. They're gossips. They repeat what they hear. They're subject to outbreaks and doing all kinds of things that really are contrary to good behavior. They love to be praised, and they don't care who praises them as long as somebody's patting them on the back. Oh, you're so good. But they seek things that appeal to them. And see, I'm talking about from personal experience of watching my children and grandchildren. But then we go from the little child stage to the young adult stage. And in the 13th verse of 1 John chapter 2, it says, I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children because you have known the Father. Now, this is a spiritual stage of growth that many believers never get to, even though God has designed for all of us to arrive at that stage of spiritual maturation. Amen. And at this stage, they are strong in the faith. They have knowledge of the Word of God. They're able to resist the temptation of the evil one and even to overcome satanic attacks. Has Satan ever attacked anybody in here? Have you ever been under attack by the devil? I know I have. Amen. But through the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, I can say, Satan, get on behind me. I can say, Jesus promised me in his word and begin to tell him what God said. Amen. And because of that, he has to go away and leave me alone. Amen. See, is one of those where, you know, a person who is at that young adult stage in spiritual maturation, see, they are able to embrace the church's vision, amen, and then they have the strength to press forward for the future, amen, and go after what God has said. And our purpose here at Christian Charity is this. First of all, we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we want to love one another. Jesus commanded us to love one another what as he has loved us. And then we want to have a passion to see other people saved, because that's what this is really all about. And therefore, we're going to fulfill not only the Great Commission, we're going to fulfill the Great Command and go after those who don't know Jesus Christ. Right. Then while we're doing that, we're going to have spiritual fellowship with one another as believers in the body of Jesus Christ. And if you want to become a young spiritual adult, follow the instructions of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 to 11. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And see, as witty as progressive, as intelligent as children are today, they're still children. Their understanding is not as developed as ours, amen. But he said, when I was a child, I understood, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, if you want to be strong in the Lord, pick up your Bible and not the remote. If you want, I just want to bless you. You want to be strong in the Lord and grow to young adult maturity, leave the phone off and get on your knees, amen, and begin to talk to God. Or if the phone is on and it rings and somebody calls you with some mess, say, you know what, sister or brother, let's pray. We need to pray about that. Not talk about it. I bet they don't call you no more. Your phone won't ring nearly as much as it has if you don't entertain foolishness.
That's right.
Amen. See, I'm talking from experience. See, back in the day, we didn't have a cell phone, but we'd get together and chew and talk about stuff and people. Amen. But when you change and you grow up a little bit in Christ Jesus and you start telling people, hey, man, I really don't want to talk about that. I don't care what you did or who you did. I don't want to talk about that. And you know what they do? They leave you alone. And then when the rubber meets the road and they really need some help, you know who they come to find? You. Because they know your relationship with Jesus Christ is real. So if you want to be strong, put away childish things. Act like an adult. And then the fourth stage is that of being an adult, a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. And in that same 13th verse, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. And though this level of spiritual maturity is not reached by all, it's intended for all. God desires that all of us reach this stage, a level of development. Because when you become an adult spiritually, not only do you have peace with God, you experience the peace of God. And there is a difference. See, peace with God comes through us receiving the word of God and being saved. The peace of God is a byproduct of us living in obedience to the word of God and allowing God to have his way in our lives. Amen. And many of us, we all who are saved, have peace with God. But many of us are not enjoying the peace of God because we're not walking in obedience to the word of God. Let me take you over to Philippians 4:7, and it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's peace will establish itself as a sentinel or a guard over your heart and your mind and allow you to experience peace in the midst of confusion, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of the storm. The peace of God will allow you to be calm and at yourself, amen, because you are trusting in him. But you know why you can experience the peace of God? It's because you adhere to verse 6. And verse 6 said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you do those things, if you do what it says in verse 6, the promise is that the peace of God is going to set up a guard around your heart and around your mind, amen, and allow God's peace to be pervasive all the days of your life. That's what it takes in order for us to have peace. And every now and then, don't get me wrong, storms are going to come and things are going to happen and Satan's going to try to get you to flare up and be all out of character. But if you pray about it, God's peace will raise up. Y'all seen those things where they have those walls where you push a button and the gate comes up out of the ground and then you have a secure. God's peace surrounds us and allows us to enjoy the peace of God. See, Paul, in the midst of storms, saw his place, saw his station in life as God's will for him at that time. Amen. And he wasn't a self-made martyr. See, some people create situations and then they want other folk to feel sorry for them. Amen. They dig a hole and fall in it and then everybody's at fault but them. No, my brothers and sisters. Philippians 4:11 and 12, it says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then this is why Paul could be comfortable, because he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The key is not just me, but it's about my trust being in Christ and allowing him to give me strength, amen, to go through. See, and the point is that it's not my strength, it's his strength. God gives us the strength we need every day for that day. He's not going to give us strength today for what's going to take place tomorrow. The strength we get is for us to use today, and we need to use it for God's glory on today. See, when you hit this stage of spiritual maturation, the love of God really controls you. And in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. The love of Christ in a believer's life is the motivating force, amen, for our service to Christ. Amen. Because Christ loved us, and we look at how he loved us, it motivates us to do the will of Almighty God. And that word compel in the Greek is endikazio. Amen. And it means to constrain. And it means to do something from urgent pressing on, amen, urgent necessity. We do it because the love of Christ holds us and causes us to do what God would have us to do. It compels, it controls, it causes action because of the substitutionary sacrifice, the love of God of Jesus Christ out on Mount Calvary for our sins. Some things we do in response to what somebody else has done. Now, somebody call you a bleep. Do you call them a bleep? We used to. Amen. But when you look at how, and it's just very simply, that if somebody does you a good turn, do you reciprocate in kind? When you have an opportunity to bless them, don't you bless them? Amen. And the first thing happens when they're in trouble, you think about, you know what, man? Freddie came by and slipped $100 in my hand. He knew I was broke. And I see Freddie, and he just down a little bit on his finances. It shouldn't urge me to say, God bless you. I'm praying for you. It ought to, if I got 100, it ought to make me slip 100 in his hand. If I got 2, give him a couple of 100. Amen. And when I think about the love of God constrains us, when we look at the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf, we ought to be willing to do whatever he commands us to do in his word, because we are going to reciprocate in kind. When you reach the stage of spiritual maturity, you're willing to trust in the Lord because you recognize that Jesus is doing just what Romans 8:28 says. For we know, amen, that all things work together for the good of those who, what? Love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And we understand that we have been called for God's purpose. We've been called for God's kingdom. We've been called that God might use us. And even though it's not going just the way we want it to go right now, God has the ability to take those things that seem to be working against us and make them work together for our good. Amen. And I might say it like an old preacher said it the other day. He said, God didn't say the weapons wouldn't form. He just said they wouldn't prosper. Right. Amen. So Satan going to form some stuff. Satan going to bring some stuff against you. But what God said is, even though he does, They're not going to work against you like he designed them to work, because I'm going to make them work together for your good. Oh, hallelujah. See, I'm glad this morning that I trust the Lord, and I'm waiting and believing that God is allowing us to enjoy the abundant life even right now. But you know why we enjoy it? It's because of Ephesians 2, 6, and 7. It says that he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. So when you look at this thing, we have not new, you know, we've already been raised up, amen, and allowed to sit with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, amen. And that's the spiritual realm where all of our blessings come from, amen. That's where our inheritance is. That is where our affection should be, amen. And it's where all divine revelation comes down from, that place where the Lord allows us to sit with him in the heavenlies. It's where our praise should go. It's where our prayers should go, amen. It is a heavenly place that God has prepared for people who are prepared for heaven. Jesus said in John 14, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And then he died out on Mount Calvary for your sins and for mine, died and was buried in a borrowed tomb, raised from the grave on the third day morning, ascended back into glory, sat down at the right hand of majesty, where he's making intercession for you and me. And because of his intercession, we can enjoy abundant living down here right now. See, I'm not going to worry about who's in the White House. I'm not going to worry about who's in the governor's mansion. I'm not going to worry about who is even mayor of Kansas City, because my faith and my trust is in the Lord God of heaven. And I know that he rules, that he reigns, that he has all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And see, what I need, God's got it. Yeah. He said that the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. He said all the silver and all the gold belongs to me. He said that whatever you need, all you have to do is just call on me, pray according to my will, then you have the confidence that I heard you. And because I heard you, if you're obedient to my word, I'll open up the windows of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. And I'll pull you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. Anybody in here ever poured anything? Well, let me help you. When you pour something, you pour it specifically and direct it at a specific target. When I pick up my Pepsi, my Mountain Dew, my lemonade, my tea, or even my coffee, I pour it towards the glass or the cup. And if any runs out on the table, it's because the glass or the cup has run over. It's not because my aim was bad. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, because when God determines that he going to pour out your blessings, it ain't going to run over on me, because it's your blessing. Oh, y'all. Dallas, When God opens the windows of heaven and he pours out your blessing, Freddie ain't going to get none unless you choose to share it with him. But so you really might, you can really get your head wrapped around this thing of God blessing us individually and specifically. The psalmist said, he prepares a table before me. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. God said, I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. Whew, your little cup won't hold it. It's going to run over. So we can live the abundant life every day of our lives.